had a good week in the Lord. Wait, this is the first day of the week, isn't it? Hopefully you'll have a great week in the Lord this week, much better than last week. Well, how is that possible? Because I love Jesus more this week than I did last week. Good to have you if you're visiting with us this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, thank you very much. If you're a return visitor, we are thrilled that you are here as well. We're glad that you have confidence in us to come and worship with us and be a part of our services here. It's good to have Brother Olson and his wife here with us. They're with the Fair, Amazing Grace Ministries. You know, for years we've had two ladies come down for the fair and spend time here. They're not able to make it this year, but Brother Olson and his wife are. We're glad that they're here. And we have a missionary speaking to us this morning, and he is going to Toronto, Canada, Brother Brian Hebert and his wife, and they're going to spend time with us this morning, and right after church they have to head back up to the Panhandle. So visit with them quickly as you can and pray for their safety as they travel. They have another meeting at 5:30 this evening up at Live Oak, I believe it is. So be in prayer for them, because anybody that's traveled the turnpike or 75, no, it can be tight. So be in prayer for them. Brother Hebert, please come and enjoy yourself. And I hope you are everything's been cared for here, and enjoy your stay. And we pray that you'll have a blessed trip up, back up to Live Oak.
Well, we appreciate it, and thank you, Pastor, for having us by, and thank y'all for having a lovely prophet chamber. In fact, they have two prophet chambers, amen. So that way, when the missionary is already here, you don't have to make that call like, well, maybe you can't stay. So we enjoyed it. It's lovely, well taken care of. So we enjoyed it. Thank you for the dinner last night, Pastor. That was lovely as well. We eat out so much, it's nice to have some home-style food. So we had some Cracker Barrel, amen. So that was a blessing. Amen, what a deal. But it is good to be here. It's been many years since we've been to Orlando. Well, I've not been, my wife's been. A different time, but I was a teenager, maybe just barely a teenager when I was here, and I'm 32 now, so it's been a long time. So what a pleasure it is to be here, not just, well, I say not for vacation at all, but to be here to present our ministry, and what a lovely opportunity we have. Now, we are called to Toronto, Canada, up in Ontario, Canada. Now, let me do this before I get way ahead of myself. Y'all are probably wondering, what's this guy carrying around teddy bear for? Now, I'm not a weirdo, but this is an explanation of how to say our name, because most folks call us the Heberts. And Pastor's been lived around the area that I grew up in, and are not too terribly far from there. So Hebert is something you'd be familiar with. But for everybody else, it's like this: a bear. All right. Now, this isn't an Alabama A, so don't get excited, any Roll Tide fans here, okay? That just happens to go with our table, amen? We are with FBMI, or Fundamental Baptist Missions International, heading to the international city of Toronto, Canada. Now, by means of presentation, if I could ask you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I'm not preaching at this moment. I just want to show you something. A passage that the Lord used as a confirmation, I believe, to for us to be going to this particular city, and then the reason why we're going to go to this city. Just Acts chapter 2. We'll look at verse number 1 through 5. And pay special attention to verse number 5, if you would, and you'll see where I'm going with this, I believe. But Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, that filled all the house where they were sitting." Kind of like that airplane going over right now. Not maybe, I don't know. Kind of opportune there. Verse 3. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Notice verse 5. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men." Read this last phrase with me. "Out of every nation under heaven." Very interesting. This is the disciples preaching all on their own, in a manner of speaking. Of course, you understand the Holy Spirit is with them, so understand that. But Jesus has gone to heaven. Now, this is the disciples now doing the Great Commission. This, if you will, is day one for them, minus Jesus. So this is the first time they're preaching here. They now have the dwelling of this Holy Spirit. He's come. Acts 1:8 fulfillment is here. And here they are preaching. And isn't it interesting, the first place that God Jesus has them preach is in a city where there are people out of every nation under heaven. Pretty unique situation here. So what happens here is when they're preaching, not only is it miraculous, of course, the Holy Spirit has come and given them the ability to do something they could not otherwise do, that speak languages they did not previously know. And here they are, preaching in the power of the Spirit with the miraculous ability of the Spirit and preaching to a city with every nation under heaven present. So when Peter and the disciples preached that day, they preached to the world in one city. Interesting, huh? So that when these people hear the gospel and they get saved and they eventually begin to scatter, now we have people that know every language in the world, that know all these different cultures in the world, and they are dispersed around the world to continue what Jesus has commanded them to do. Pretty interesting situation here. You fast forward a couple thousand years now to our present time, and there are cities all over this world like Jerusalem. God has called us in particular to one just like this in the city of Toronto. 6 million souls make up Toronto and the greater Toronto area. That's all of the suburbs around the city. That's a lot of people. I've learned that's more people than some of our states. I've learned that's more people than some countries. That's a lot of people crammed into one area. Now, another unique aspect of it, like we talked about here with this passage, is that it has people from every possible corner of the globe to a heavy degree. It's about 50% of the people that live there come from another country. You look on your map in the back of the auditorium there, you spin a globe and you put your finger on any part of the globe that's not water. And just pretty much within reason, there are going to be people from that country there. Some are financial investors. Some are just people that decided to up and move there. Some are refugees. Others are for different reasons here and there. But by and large, all these people have come together now in a situation not unlike the city of Jerusalem here. Huge difference would be that they're not all Jews. We have Jews in the city of Toronto, but we don't not only have Jews, but we have Hindus, we have Buddhists, we have Sikhists, we have Taoists, we have Shintoists, we have Christian Science, we have Jehovah's Witnesses, we have Mormons there. I think I probably left out Muslims there. We have just about every possible religion you can imagine. And so it's a little bit like, Richard, like Athens and Jerusalem kind of mixed together. They have every possible philosophy there, every possible political ideology there. It's all of these things kind of crammed into one in the city of Toronto. And God has called us to reach these folks. You see, Toronto is the world in the city. It's also what I would call a gateway to the world. We can reach China through the city of Toronto because there are Chinese people there. We can reach India through the city of Toronto because there are Indian people there. We can reach the Philippines through the city of Toronto because there are Filipinos there. We can reach Korea, North or South Korea, through Toronto because there are Korean people there. I felt like originally God had called us to Mexico when I was a teenager. But you know what? I can still reach Mexico because there are Mexican people in the city of Toronto. You see, there are 200 different distinctive ethnic groups that have lived in the city. I don't know necessarily what the breakdown is in Orlando, but I imagine you have quite a similar situation that we do with all the different people groups coming in, whether it's visiting or just living here. So you have an idea of what we're talking about, but it's a massive amount of people in the city of Toronto. Canada is in desperate need of the gospel. It is not just an opportunity to reach the world, but it's also an opportunity to reach Canada because Toronto is Canada's largest city. It's not its capital, but its largest city. So we have an opportunity now also to touch the lives of many millions of Canadian people who by and large have maybe turned their backs on the Lord. We have a situation in Canada now that kind of similar to England, where many, many churches are closing. Churches like this size, maybe some even larger than this, are closing and being turned into pubs, entertainment centers, scary houses, and things like that. We need a revival in the city of Canada, in the country of Canada. You know, the Bible tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I believe desperately we need churches planted in the United States. I believe we need 100 times more than what we have right now. So believe me, I'm for the United States getting churches. So doubly so, I'd say we need to make sure our neighbors are cared for. That is our neighboring countries. In Canada, by and large, we have a familiarity with it. And so we think maybe they're okay, but boy, they need the gospel desperately. Millions upon millions of people, generations now, are growing up and hearing nothing about God. They're being taught that you can be six or seven genders in kindergarten, but they're not being taught anything like the Lord. They're being taught that you came up from a monkey and an amoeba popped up and the worlds collided and everything banged and all of a sudden we're here, but they're not being taught anything about how they can have a godly home someday. And so we have a lost generation of people. We have a lost world all kind of compacted in the city of Toronto. And so that's where God has called us to go. We love those people. I love the people of the world, and I'm excited to be there, to be a part of that work. We will be on a missionary team, and you say, I don't know if I've heard of that before. Well, sure you have. If you read in your Bible in the book of Acts, you've heard of a missionary team. You see, and I want to say, I'm going off the top of my dome, but somewhere in Acts 13 to 15 or so, Paul and Barnabas go out. That is the first missionary team. In fact, the first missionary sent out of the church came in a pair. And so, and of course, we know Paul had a company there. There's wisdom in that, of course, in that we get to encourage one another, build off of one another's strengths and weaknesses, and help each other relieve the pressure of the ministry. And so we'll be working with a veteran missionary, Brian Johnston, who is Canadian, born in Barrie, Ontario, loves the people of Toronto, loves the city, loves the people of the world. And so we're going to assist him in teaching, training, and planting churches. And we believe doing this method, we can not do less for the Lord, but more. And so this would be an opportunity to be a part of that as well. Different aspects of the ministry that we have available. We'd like to have a teaching English ministry, should the Lord allow that, because many of the folks coming in would like to learn some conversational English. Maybe they're from business or something like that. Give us an opportunity to connect with them that we may not otherwise have. Also, we'll take aspects of the youth ministry there in the particular church he's planted, as the Lord gives us opportunity, of course, to start other ministries as well. So please do pray for us as we endeavor to wrap up our deputation travels. We got about maybe 15% or so to go on our support, and so we're very close. We're at the brink. I can see the end of the tunnel, so we've been seeing light for some time now. So do pray for us that God would get us to the field, and pray for Toronto, what God would have you to do there. Grab one of our cards, if you would, please. I realize I don't have a beard in this photo. We haven't quite decided if that's going to stay or go, but please do pray for us, and remember the city of Toronto. Remember the Canadian people that our neighbors that need the gospel very desperately. Let's do this. Let's have a word of prayer, and then Pastor, it's time for preaching. Is that correct? What we're doing next? Great. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll have you turn to Acts 16. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for the freedom that we have, Father, to preach your word. Lord, thank you, God, that you've given us able bodies and sound mind, Lord, to be here today. God, to be underneath your word, I pray, Father, that as I preach, Lord, that you would help me, God, to convey your thoughts and what you would like for the folks here to hear today. I do pray, Jesus, you'd just use me for your glory. Fill me with the power of your spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn again to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Do y'all typically stand, Pastor? I'm not go with what y'all usually do. All right. Well, how about we do this? Just you and me, just in case. Would give you a bit of a break. Have you stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll read Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 14 today. Acts 16, 6 through 14. 16, 6 through 14. The Bible tells us, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. After they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief part of that, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which were sorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you today on this idea about hearing the heart's cry of the world. You see, you don't have to do but maybe turn the news on today. Maybe go home this afternoon and you turn the news on, and within probably about 15 to 20 minutes, you're going to hear about some tragedy that happened in our country or around the world. See, the world is in a desperate need of the Lord right now. You see, when Jesus came on the scene during the Roman time, the world absolutely needed him. We were at the cusp of it needed him desperately, and he came at the perfect time in the perfect way. And this world has been in desperate need of him ever since. Now, the world is fallen. This world is wicked and desperately wicked. And we understand that the things are happening in this world because we ignore the Lord or because we don't do what he's told us to do. But friend, let me tell you something. This world needs Jesus. It's crying out for help today. But you know something? The world has tried to solve problems with committees. We've tried to solve problems by getting nations together. The League of Nations at first, and then now maybe the United Nations. We try all these different things. But nothing has been solving the problem like it needs to be solved. The answer to the world's problems lies within the believer who holds the truth of the gospel. The answer for the world lies between these two covers here. It's the gospel. It's the truth of God's word. It's the principles of God's word. But most of this world is still unreached with the gospel. Would you agree? Most of the people of this world have never heard the name of Jesus. Now, maybe they've seen our pop culture and they've heard his name as a curse word. There are people that to this day would not know who that is. There are many more millions and billions of people that have known the name of Jesus but have a severe misunderstanding of who he is and what he did for us. They think he's only a stepping stone to get to heaven instead of the entire bridge. There's a misunderstanding all over this world. But the precious gospel has not reached most of the people. It leads us kind of to a bit of a tragic conclusion. It's one of two things. Either we aren't listening to the world's need, or we haven't. That's the same thing. I just realized that. Or we haven't heard. I wrote two options down there. You understand something, all right? But we haven't heard them crying, or we've plugged our ears to the gospel, to the need of the gospel. But if anybody ever had his finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of God, it was the Apostle Paul. Paul listened to the Lord in a way that would be refreshing, I think, today to see in our churches. Paul, when the Lord said go, he just went. Paul said don't go, he didn't go. Paul listened to the Lord, and he did what God wanted him to do. But nobody questions his resolve because Paul simply went after it, and he loved the people, his own people. He loved the people of the world. Paul stayed close to God's heart, and because Paul did listen to God, an unreached people group of his day heard the gospel. And people that had not heard of Jesus dying on the cross for them, of Jesus atoning payment for them, finally got to hear. And that's what we're going to look at today. You see, there's so many unreached people of today. There's so many people that have never heard today. I hope we'll hear the heart's cry of the world like Paul did. I'm going to look through this interesting short passage, but in this interesting time in Paul's life, go through that and see our responsibility and how this progresses and what we can do. And I believe God has something for us today. Let's look at four things that Paul went through in this particular endeavor. The first thing we see is the detour of his life, the detour. You see, Paul was in the midst of doing a great work. Paul, of course, had already done the missionary journey, planted several churches, and seen many souls saved for the glory of God. What a blessing. But now Paul is beginning to travel again, and he has picked up a companion in young Timothy, a preacher boy in training, somebody that he's ultimately going to deposit in a needy church. And so he's got Timothy with him. He's training Timothy, but he's got him going with him. That's essentially discipleship, okay? And so now, but also there's been some doctrinal issues that popped up in the church. And of course, Paul is going to deliver the letters that came from the council there to give out to these churches to kind of relieve that doctrinal error that's been going around, and many of the churches in an uproar, and many of them were afraid and scared. And so Paul's in the midst of a great war because he's delivering these letters. But Paul intends to preach the gospel in Asia, Turkey, if you look on the modern day map. He intends on preaching as he goes, and here he is in the midst of Asia, trying to go to the city in Asia, and God says, no, you can't preach there. Now, I wonder when Paul heard that, what he thought. We don't have any indication here, but we know Paul just simply obeyed. We don't know if he was confused or what, but Paul was not allowed to go where he thought he should go. So he goes to the next town, surely thinking, maybe this is where God wants me to be. He goes to preach the gospel there, and the Holy Spirit says, no, no, you can't go there. And so Paul reroutes, and if you look on your map, he's continually heading west, heading toward Europe, or Greece as we call it today. And so here he is, he's continuing to go, and all of a sudden he stops in Troas. And we'll get in there in just a minute there. But Paul keeps on moving until he finds a place where he can preach. God continually keeps detouring him, keeps saying, no, don't go there, go here. And Paul just simply keeps obeying. By the way, Paul's never given an explanation in the midst of this. Now, it becomes apparently obvious why Paul is not allowed to preach in Asia. But Paul's not given a reason. God has him on a purposeful detour. A purposeful detour. You see, Paul couldn't get busy working in Asia. If he did get working in Asia, Paul would have spent probably a year, 2 years working to establish church and getting these churches planted. There was a specific, direct, immediate need in Macedonia. Paul couldn't get bogged down there because he would be continuing, that work would be delayed much further. But we can learn something, I believe, about God here. Is that God will put some things in our lives, some changes, if you will. He will put some unexpected no's in our requests. He'll put some unexpected closed doors in our way and change our path sometimes in order to put us in a place where we can serve Him. He may allow some things in our lives that so that we are in a position to, and it changes our course, if you will, so that we can be a witness for Him. It could be something as harmless as a job move, maybe a job loss, maybe a devastating job loss. You know, we've heard of people that have lost their jobs and God moved into another area and they were able to do a great work there and get into a wonderful church. Or maybe they did that and they got into a good independent Baptist church and preached the gospel to them and actually got saved. Okay, that's a good detour, okay? But you know, God will put some things in our lives that maybe we didn't ask for. Maybe we didn't want. You see, it was Paul's heartbeat to preach the gospel. It had to have pained him some to hear God say, no, you can't preach. Oof, yeah, I want to do that, Lord. But you understand, these people need Jesus. And Paul, as he's maybe walking by and seeing little boys and girls running the street, and he's looking and says, Lord, but they're going to die and go to hell. I've got to preach to them, but you told me no, so I'm going to keep going. You know, maybe that bothered Paul. We don't know. But I know this, God detoured him. God changed his direction. In fact, Paul thought he was going to preach in Asia, and God put him to an entire different continent. He says, I got somewhere else I want you to be. You know, sometimes God maybe allows a tragedy in our lives and things maybe we did not expect to use us for his glory. In fact, it was Paul that got the thorn in the flesh that he begged God to get rid of. But God says, I've got a use for that so that you can glory in me, that you can glory in those infirmities, and that I can use you better. You know, we have some friends that we know that they had a baby a few years back, of course, and they were excited because they had some issues getting pregnant and things like that. And when they finally had their third baby, they found out the baby was going to have Down syndrome. That was a devastating thing to them. They were afraid. They didn't know what to do. They were wondering, God, why did you allow this? What happened? And you know, and of course, her name is Emma Joy. But if you look at Emma Joy today, she exemplifies her middle name, Joy. She brings joy to everybody she sees. You know, that was a detour in their lives. That was something. It's a family that has that also, that same news, where you're going to have a Down syndrome child. They call this family and say, would you counsel with them? Because many of the doctors try to get these families to have abortions. It's a tragic thing. But Scott and Allison here, they're able to help these families and can counsel with them, and they even have witnessing opportunities because of this detour, if you will. Okay? Obviously, this is a little more severe than what the Apostle Paul did, but it teaches us something about the Lord. We got to pay attention when God gives us a detour. When God says, I don't want you to... when we beg God for that job we thought we needed, and God says, no, I'm not going to give you that job because I want you to be in this area over here so you can witness to this individual, or so that you can kind of know how to help somebody in this area. See, God puts those detours in our lives, and it's a way to teach us to be patient, a way for Him to show us His will in that way. But like Paul, we may not realize why it happens, but God will use it in a way to detour us toward a greater purpose for Him. So Paul had that detour in his life. Paul was redirected, and God had a very good purpose. Because like this, number two, there were pleading hearts. Pleading hearts. You see, at the edge of Asia, now he's in the city of Troas. And if you look at a map, of course you all have in the back of your Bibles, but you find the city of Troas, you'll know it's at the far end of Turkey or Asia. Paul couldn't have gotten much further than the water. Okay? And here he is in this city, just kind of waiting instruction maybe. Paul's praying, and he gets a vision from the Lord. And it's a little different than probably anything he's seen before. Because here he is, he's getting this vision, and he sees this Macedonian man crying out for help, saying, come over and help us. Come over and help us. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to use my imagination when I read the Bible, because not, there's no scene set here, but I imagine this man's on like a craggy rock on an island, and wind's whipping around him, and his beard is flying over in this direction, and his robes are going everywhere, and the lightning and the thunders and the rain's coming down. You know, can you see it now? Are you there with me? Okay. And he's begging and pleading for help. Now, that's how I see it. Now, you may see him on a beach, on a chair with sipping lemonade, saying, come on, help us. I don't know how you see that. But nevertheless, this man's crying for help. And Paul wakes up and he knows immediately what's happening. God is showing him His will. God was showing him what He wanted him to do. See, the only help Paul could give was the gospel. Paul wasn't a mariner to save him from an ocean, whatever, you know, tragedy. But Paul wasn't a firefighter to save him from a burning building. Paul was a preacher of the gospel. So Paul immediately knew that God wanted them to go. Paul understood that God was showing the need of the heart of the Macedonian people. He was showing them that they had no hope for the gospel, but that they were willing to hear the gospel. See, I believe this with all my heart. We know that if Christ was lifted up, He would draw all men unto Him. The Bible tells us so. The Lord is drawing men and women and boys and girls every single day all over this world. If it's through creation, he's drawing the people to say, listen, there's something more. Would you search for it? Through the law, through their conscience, God is drawing people to get rid of the guilt of their sin. Or if they know about the cross, God is drawing them through that need to be relieved from the pressure of their sin, from that burden that they have. God is drawing people, and I believe that with all my heart. God is drawing people everywhere, in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa or in the big city of Toronto. God is drawing people all over this world. And He knows when people are listening, and He knows when people want to hear, and He knows the heart of the people. And when they're ready, He's going to send somebody so that they can hear it. And here they are, these Macedonians. They're in a desperate need for the gospel. These Macedonians here, they've been under the Roman system of government, where the emperor is God. Oh, and then they've got also a bunch of other gods, where all the other emperors were gods too. And then they've got all these other gods of whatever you can, Roman mythology, you know, you can study that later if you want to. It's no good, but it's there to understand what they were going through, what they had. But they had, in that area, it's not uncommon for people to be demon-possessed. They were in bondage to sin. They were in bondage to these things. They were in a desperate situation. And the worst part of it all is after all of that, they were headed for a crossless eternity. It was a hopeless situation. But they were looking for the truth. They were looking for hope. They were looking for the gospel. They were looking for something, some kind of good news. But the world today is still crying out. The world itself is looking for hope. It's looking for truth. It's looking for something better than what they have. They're looking for God. If you look at there's a website called peoplegroups.org. Many churches will use it on their websites. Show you an unreached people group of the day. I think you can put like a thumbnail on your website or whatever. But through that site, we learned this, that there are about 12,000 people groups in the world. You boil all the people down into separate groups. 12,000 people groups in the world today, and about 7.5 billion people. But just over 7,000 of them, the site will show you that they're unreached by the gospel. 7,000 of the 12,000 are unreached by the gospel, coming to about 4.3 billion people. That's a lot of people. Millions of the people of those other groups that have nobody actively trying to reach them. That means that they couldn't find a gospel preacher in their area if they wanted to. They're looking for something, but they don't have it. We have missionary friends in Turkey, consequently the area we're talking about here. But they said that the Muslim people, what they portray on the news and what you see in reality are often two different things, because he says the people, the Muslim people that they're finding are looking for something better than Islam. They're running from their religion as fast as it possibly can, and they're looking for somebody to tell them the truth. You see, in Islam, Allah loves not the sinner. What a system to be under. To be a sinner, and all of a sudden you know you're a sinner, you know you're guilty, and all of a sudden you know there's no love, there's no hope, there's no nothing for me. The only guarantee they have to get to heaven, to get to paradise, is martyrdom. What a life to live, and they're fleeing from that. The oppressiveness that religion brings to just simple life is overbearing, and they're fleeing from that. Many of the religions of this world, they all have the do. We have to do something to earn God's favor. We have to do something astronomically difficult in order to have peace. But what they don't know is that they have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They're crying out for it. They don't know what they're looking for, but they have to know that there's something better. They've been living in sin and in many of these places that just waller in filth because they know nothing else. Friend, they need the hope of the gospel. Nobody's telling them. They've tried religion and it's failed. Europe has tried religion for generations and they've said it hasn't worked, it hasn't helped us, and now you have many burned people. They're just atheists, they're cold, and they say it didn't work before. It's not going to work now. But they don't understand that there's a difference in religion and Jesus Christ. They've tried drugs. Hey, this world has tried drugs and they've gone wholeheartedly after it, friend, and it has not helped one bit. In fact, it's only done worse. It's hurt us. It's failed. They've tried the sensuality of this world, which is prevalent everywhere you go, and that they've bought into that hook, line, and sinker, and that has failed them. And they're searching. They've tried relationships after relationship after relationship, and it's all failed. They're crying out for hope. They're looking for the truth. When they're crying out, are we listening? When the missionary presents, and I'm not just saying myself included, I mean when missionaries come through, are we listening to hear the need of the people there? When we see it on the news and we realize that there are problems going all over this world, do we understand that they're crying out for the gospel, that they need somebody to tell them about Jesus? Maybe for hundreds of years, these people that we see, that we wonder why they can't get their acts together, have we considered the fact that they've just simply never heard the gospel before? Because God's word changes lives. The gospel changes hearts. It doesn't just change them, it metamorphosizes. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. Okay? It transforms. There we go. It transforms the hearts of people in a way that nothing else can. Well, they're crying out. So he heard the pleading hearts. Do we hear the pleading hearts of the world? Number three, the rapid response. You see, we notice through verse 10, the Bible says, and after he had seen the vision, what's that next word? It says, immediately. In other words, he didn't wait. Paul's response was immediate. When Paul knew what God wanted him to do, he wasn't sitting around. When Paul knew what God had called him to do, he didn't sit on his hands and wait for a more sure word. When Paul knew what God had called him to do, he didn't debate. He didn't argue. He didn't ask any questions that I can find here. He got his company and said, y'all get up, pack up your stuff, give your food. Okay, leave that behind. That's not important. Let's go. We've got some people who need the gospel. And he got up and left immediately. Paul was sure of his calling. Paul's closeness to the Lord left no doubt. It says, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He says, well, there ain't a question in my mind. He says, I know what God wants. And I know where He wants me to be. Full speed ahead, Macedonia. But why is it that we delay now? Why is it that our young people have been called to missions and we're afraid to let them go? Why is it that maybe we know ourselves, young, middle-aged or older, that God wants us to serve Him in this area of missions, go to the mission field, or maybe plant a church, or very simply just get involved in the local church? And we know that people need to hear the gospel, but yet we delay. Why do we do that? Why do we delay? Maybe we're not as close to God as we ought to be. Maybe we've gotten kind of backslidden on the Lord, and I'm not saying that I know that. I'm just saying this is entirely possible that when we don't listen to God, we kind of pull a Jonah and we say, "No, God, I won't do that. No, God, I've got that's dangerous. I can't go there. I can't do that." But we have two ways we can reach the world. You can either go yourself, or you can send, and we're responsible to do both. If you know God wants you to go, why delay to go? Why delay? If He created the world with His words, couldn't He take care of you on the mission field? If He's called you to send, and He says, I want you to send missionaries around the world, I didn't call you, but I want you to send someone, why do we delay to send? If He created the world with His mouth, if He made a way for us to be saved, then He carefully orchestrated everything possible, why do we not trust God with our finances to say, God, I'm going to send and make sure I send around the world? God can do anything but fail, friend. We need to trust Him. Look at Romans 10, if you would, please. Romans 10, 13. If you're a soul winner, you use this verse all the time. I hope that you are. Romans 10, 13. A very familiar verse. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a fantastic promise. That's a promise we can take to the nations. That's a promise that we can hang our hat on. And God says, if we will call upon Him, we shall be saved. That's a wonderful thing. But look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? That's a valid question. How can you call on the name of someone that you don't believe in? Valid question. Next, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How can I call the hospital to get emergency treatment that I need if I don't even know it's there? Y'all know we did something real goofy in Live Oak. It's a small town there. The first time we were through, we came in the back way. Never knew they had a Walmart. We didn't even know they had a McDonald's. And so we spend the day at Live Oak there, and the weekend there, and I needed the internet, and the church didn't have Wi-Fi. I said, okay, I got to get some emails sent out. And so I look and look and like, okay, so I got to go to Lake City. It's like a 40-minute drive to Lake City. And so I drive all the way to Lake City to sit at a McDonald's and get on the computer. And I'm sipping my coffee, get on the computer, making emails. All the while, I just simply didn't know. I never heard that if I would have turned right down the road, there was McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Walmart, everything I possibly could have ever needed, and I could have gotten there in 5 minutes. Y'all, it was 5 minutes away from me. But because I didn't hear about it, I couldn't do anything about it. You know something, the world, if they've never heard about the saving knowledge of Jesus, how in the world can they believe on Him? And how can they call on Him? How is that even possible? They can't. And the verse finishes, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It all boils down to this, sweet friend. We have to hear the cry of the world. We have to open our eyes to see the need of the world. We have to open our ears to understand that they're looking for the truth. And then when we know that God has maybe detoured our lives a little bit and kind of put us on another track, we have to see that God is kind of leading us in that direction and just listen to the Lord. And then when He gives us a short idea of what He wants us to do, we do it with all haste and with all speed. Because if we don't do anything, they don't get the answer. They don't hear what they're looking for. They never get. God forbid that we should get into heaven and pass by the people that we could have talked to, by the people that we could have seen saved, but yet we did not. Lastly is this, in his journey, was the answer received. The answer received. You see, Lydia here, she's going down to the river to pray. Her and her ladies group, maybe, getting together to pray. See, Lydia had worshipped God, but didn't know Him. She worshipped God, but didn't even know anything about the cross. She was ignorant of that thing. She didn't understand the way to get to Him. She just wanted to know Him, and she was searching for Him. And this, Paul never, I don't believe, found that guy that was waving him down until he came to Macedonia. But he found the heart that was crying out. Lydia found her there praying, and he gave her the gospel. You know, this idea of Lydia being a worshiper of God, I want to read something. You can turn there if you like to, but Matthew 7. See, she worshiped God but didn't know Him. I want to show you this. Probably the most frightening passage of Scripture. And I think this happens more often than we realize in our churches, but the Bible says in Matthew 7:21, Pastor, is this water for me? Okay, just want to double check. Nobody drank out of it. Matthew 7:21, the Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Probably the most frightening verse to me in a world today where Christianity has gone beyond a religion and relationship with Christ, but it's become a culture icon idea. That we believe we're Christians. In other words, we believe we're saved because, very simply, we're doing God's work. Or we believe we're saved because of something we've done, like we're on the church roll, or I got baptized, or whatever. I keep all these commandments. And this lady that Paul witnessed to was just like that. She worshiped God, but she wasn't saved. Can you imagine? I mean, being able to, like this passage here in Matthew said, being able to cast out a demon and do all this great stuff for the Lord and not really know Him. So that tells us something, that we can be doing these fantastic, and I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. Please don't misunderstand me. What I'm trying to get at is, if you're not saved here and you're trusting in something other than Jesus, friend, you need to get that taken care of today. Because you're the one we're talking about entirely right here, about hearing the heart's cry of the world. But Lydia was like that, and she found out that salvation wasn't through a religious system. It was through Jesus Christ and faith in Him. She found out that day that she could be forgiven of all of her sins that she's ever had, and she got saved that day. Oh, by the way, not only her, but her house. You see, because Paul listened to God, because Paul obeyed the vision, many more found the answer. You see, you continue in this journey, and he saw the Philippian jailer and his family saved. He saw the Thessalonians, many of them saved. The Bereans found Jesus. Even in Athens, where they really weren't listening to him, a few people got saved. Dionysius, Demarius, and many others that are not named. The Corinthians found Jesus that day, when Paul preached. You see, an entire country, a region of people, there'd be a country out, but a region of people heard the truth of the gospel because Paul obeyed. I wonder how many people would hear the gospel if we, in our own individual way, wherever God is leading and however He wants us to serve Him, how many people would find that answer? would find the truth of the gospel, would find peace in their homes, peace in their families, because they would finally have peace with God if we would simply do what God has told us to do. See, we already know God wants us to witness. That is not even an option. God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Across the streets, the world. Around the world, it's the world. God wants us to preach. That is not a question. Are we listening to that need? Or have we closed our eyes to the plight of the world? Have we closed our ears to their cry? Are we doing something about it, friend? Listen, it's still happening. People are getting saved all over this world, and God is doing great works. Pray that we would get involved in our own individual ways. That we would find people that need to be saved and tell them the truth. Find people that are maybe struggling and say, listen, let me help you with the greatest thing you'll ever get to know about your salvation. Multitudes are waiting. Are we doing anything about it? Let's have a word of prayer. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you. Father, we thank you for this, for your word, God. I pray that it's a help to somebody today, Lord. And Father, I pray that, God, you would convict our hearts and help us, Lord, to know, God, where we ought to go, God, what we ought to do, what we ought to say. Father, I just pray you'd use us, Lord. And I pray that, God, through your people, Lord, many souls would be saved, lives would be changed, and needs be met in Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Pastor.